You know, Lucas, this week and last week, really, we have talked so much about vaping and how so many children, middle schoolers, are choosing this thing to do because it's fun. There's flavored things. And now we're learning that not only is it not good for you, it can potentially kill you. So we wanted to explore this topic a little greater. Of course, you and I just play doctors on radio and TV. We have a real doctor in the house this morning, actually real legit, a vascular surgeon, Dr. Alex Fernandez Tatum. Thank you so much for coming in and joining us this morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Vaping.
Yes.
We are talking now the potential to ban it altogether, and yet there are a lot of people who have successfully stepped away from smoking by the use of the vaping. So help us understand where, in such a short period of time, vaping went from something new to suddenly you see stores everywhere and you see children vaping. How did all this happen so quickly?
Oh, that's an extraordinary series of events, just from the transition from old-time smoking, tobacco, rolling your own cigarettes, to essentially finding a new avenue to smoke or to obtain nicotine or kind of cure an oral fixation, if you will. And I think a lot of it had to do with the evolution of, not just in the United States, but throughout the world, about the harm of smoking and how it started being slowly but surely prohibited in airports, in restaurants, in public places. Then obviously the data that came out and the lawsuits against the major tobacco companies that then caused a lot of the change in terms of the publicity and not being able to sell or advertise. So this has kind of been a slow but steady swing of the pendulum from what it was in the 30s, 40s, 50s to now smoking is considered very negative and very taboo, yet smoking obviously is one of the probably the hardest addiction to quit, and it still has a stigmata of being cool, especially in young kids and teenagers. And vaping has now essentially filled that void perfectly. Mm-hmm. And it's almost kind of tailor-made. Like they found a niche.
Sure.
And they're essentially exploiting it to their like any other business.
And somehow believing that it's not as bad. It's vaping. Mm-hmm. It can't be bad for you. It's okay. It's cool.
Well, I think it's been pretty clear that a lot of these manufacturers have done very well to essentially fool the American public into exactly that delusion, that it's only vapor, that it's not harmful, or it's less harmful or addictive than smoking. And the reality is that we don't know that for sure. Mm. And none of these products have had to go through any type of testing through the FDA, and they're exempt from a lot of the restrictions that have been placed on tobacco companies as a result. So you see commercials on TV and on social media, in billboards driving down 77. So that is, I think, one of the biggest issues that we need to put out and inform just everybody.
Mm-hmm. And in your role, you see the effects, right? Mm-hmm. I mean,
indeed.
It's one thing to tell folks about the dangers and to maybe show them a picture here and there, but you're really seeing what happens when people continue to smoke and continue to vape as well. And even so from one state to another state, right?
That's correct.
Yeah.
Because I trained in Charlotte and I was in private practice there for 5 years before I moved down here to Rock Hill almost exactly a year ago. And from the minute I arrived, I was just amazed at how much younger my patients were here. I'm talking about 10 to 15 years younger than my average patient was in Charlotte, and more importantly, physiologically, the amount of damage, the amount of how many cigarettes or packs per day that they have smoked for years made them physiologically 10 to 15 years older than their age. My average patient here tells me they started smoking somewhere between 9 and 14. And literally smoke about a pack to a pack or two packs a day for 20, 30, 40 years, and you can I can pretty much tell a smoker from a non-smoker from across the room.
So tell us about vaping. You know, supposedly it was marketed as something that was better for you.
Mm-hmm. An alternative.
An alternative to smoking. You could have your nicotine or you could have your flavors, whatever. But now we're seeing deaths as a result of vaping. So take us through that process of you inhale it, it goes to your lungs, and then what happens?
The problem, I wish I could answer that scientifically. The problem is that we don't know exactly what every single one of these products may contain to be able to break down the actual harm. I actually went online to kind of do a lot more research, and literally there are probably close to 1,000 different products that you can obtain on through the internet, through some of these commercial companies, and with you can essentially custom make whatever you want.
These little cartridges
that
just fit in there.
Cartridges, they fit in.
They heat up.
Yep, they heat up to a vapor. You inhale it. Obviously, a lot of the taste bud and the receptors in the mouth and the tongue is what adds that kind of flavor, and it's complementary to the smell. But what we don't know is obviously the long-term effects of what these products will do to people's lungs and their cardiovascular, supply in terms of the damage that it does to the arteries that go to the brain, the heart, to the legs. But this rash that we have seen of it's actually now a new condition that is being coined in the medical literature, and it's a vaping-associated pulmonary injury. And now the CDC has kept a pretty much a running case of proven cases. As of this morning, they've actually retracted some of the numbers. In the last 2 or 3 days, it was estimated to be close to 450 cases in 38 states with 6 reported deaths. They have now kind of cut down that number of true reported cases associated with vaping to about 380, but there's still been 6 confirmed deaths. My suspicion is that these injuries and these cases have actually been going on for much longer. It just has not been identified or those two things linked, simply because there's not just one company or one product that has demonstrated that is a common thread.
Wow.
And the additives and the in terms of what's being made or manufactured, what's actually being inhaled is different in many of these cases. There's some data that's suggesting that a lot of these things could also be due to the THC that is in some of these products in certain states where it's legal, but not in every state. Some of them contained nicotine, others did not. And it's this the fact that it's also heterogeneous and there's no one common link is what's going to make it very difficult to prove, is this a contaminant? Is this something that is being manufactured or altered on the street? So it still is going to take a lot of investigation to kind of get the final answer.
And vitamin E oil has also been – and vitamin E is something that we use safely on our face, on our skin. But it's not to be inhaled because what does it do to our lungs?
It can essentially cause an inflammatory reaction, that can damage the inner cells of the alveoli. And unfortunately, a lot of these compounds, when ingested – are not necessarily toxic, or the body is designed to be able to handle them. The lung is such a different organ altogether that it cannot withstand that kind of insult and then the inflammatory response that the body generates to fight that that stimulus. Whether it's vitamin E or the vitamin E acetate, the diacetyl compound, which has been, a couple of years ago, the popcorn lung. Was really it was actually a compound in the flavoring that is in movie popcorn. When ingested is non-toxic, but when inhaled it causes this again severe inflammatory response that can actually be and it's irreversible.
That's what's frightening.
And exactly, and one of the theories that is being you know, tested is that this also has to do a lot with lipid-containing products or compounds like oils. Mm-hmm. Not so much, but again, this has to still be proven with more study.
Wow. A lot. I mean, in the meantime, you don't know what you are inhaling, but you only get two lungs.
Correct.
And they're not designed to they like gas. They like to breathe mm-hmm. oxygen.
Yes.
So keep it clean.
Yeah, correct.
Straight from the source right here.
Yes, indeed.
That's yes. Right. Oh, man. Well, Dr. Alex Fernandez Tatum, again, with
Carolina Vascular
Surgical Associates here with in Rock Hill with the PMC. Thank you guys so much. And thanks for breaking down a very complex, as you even described, it's still unknown to a point, but a very complex subject matter down to something that people can relate to. We certainly appreciate it. Thank you so much.